Breaking news. There is always breaking news. There is always breaking news. There is always one more calamity, one more area of unrest and refugee crisis in the world, always one more natural disaster, always one more crazy example of litigation, and so forth. And it can be just downright overwhelming some days, if not every day, as we scroll on our cell phones or watch the TV, and we're just inundated. I think this is hard for those of us who want to follow Christ. For we hear the words of Christ today that we are to be servant of all. My sense is that if you are here today or you're watching online, that you probably share, we probably all at the very least share two convictions. The first is that there is a God of mercy and grace who has loved us and continues to love us in Jesus Christ. The second is that we are called then as followers of Christ to live a life of serving others, that the good life, the beautiful life, is one that is lived not for ourselves, but indeed in service to others. And yes, we get those fuzzy, and part of the reason we come to church is to be strengthened and sort out what that all means. But again, I think most of us who are here have some inkling of a sense that yes, indeed, that the good life involves serving and helping other people. But then again, when we are confronted on a daily basis with all of these challenges from all over the world, our sort of like our brain and our heart can't track that many crises all at once. And it's very easy for us to shut down, to ignore it, to give way to anger or cynicism, burnout, and disgust. Again, we just can't sort of process all of the troubles of this world. And we shake our heads at this command, haunted to be servant to all. Before we get into what Jesus might mean by this, though, I want to go back and I want to hear the words that Jesus starts on the way with today. And what Jesus tells his disciples is that he's going to die and he's going to rise. And this is the second of three times he's going to make this declaration to his disciples that this road that they're on, this journey, ends in a cross and then an empty tomb. And much of the New Testament then is spent trying to figure out why did Jesus have to die and to rise. The disciples today clearly don't get it. Their response to this declaration of Jesus' death and the resurrection is to spend their time arguing with one another over who's the greatest. Now they're focusing on Jesus' goodness or how they can serve others. And before we're right away to judge the disciples 2,000 years ago, can we honestly say that somehow we've gotten rid of that spirit in ourselves? What the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, will reveal is that Jesus just showing up and teaching the disciples wasn't enough. Jesus just walking with them on the way and saying, hey guys, you got to serve other people. That this turned out not to cure their spiritual blindness, that there was a deeper and more entrenched problem, and that was the problem of the human heart, where pride and despair, doubt, anxiety, and anger lie. And so Jesus has come, and he's come to die and to rise, for in the cross the plan, the purpose was and is to take away that, to somehow put all of that to death and to plant in us a new heart, to finally take care of that selfishness that we cannot exhaust or wring or squeeze out of ourselves. And the sobering truth, too, is that even if humans stopped any pollution in this world, tomorrow there would still be hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. That the earth itself is filled with destructive forces. And so all of creation is groaning for Jesus Christ to bring about a new day. This is the grand promise of the New Testament. This is what Scripture bears witness to, that in Jesus Christ, God is going to do something new. God is going to finally restore the human heart, restore creation, that it might be the sacrament that it was designed to be, to always point to and to praise the living Lord. To put it more simply, Jesus is the Savior, not you, not me. We cannot save the world. We cannot save other people. We cannot save ourselves. And so Jesus does not call us to be Savior to all people and all things. He calls us to be servants. God will take into God's own self the new creation. But then on the way, as we await the coming of Jesus and the fullness of all of God's promises, well, what is there left to do? What is there left to do now is serve our neighbors. Freed from the false pretension that somehow we have to fix it, to solve it, to save it all, we can instead look to our neighbor and say, how does my neighbor need me? But this still doesn't solve this dilemma that there are so many challenges and so many problems in the world that even if I don't have to sort of solve it all, I just feel like there's so much going on. And then if I add to that what I'm going through in my own life, the anxiety, the care, the woes, the care for family and friends, just the general sort of anxiety and atmosphere, the anger we're sort of all breathing in right now, again, it's easy just to feel so discouraged and overwhelmed. But Jesus makes a move today. And after he said that they have to be servant to all, rather than try to do something for everybody, he takes one child, not five, not 12, not a million, not all the children in the world. He takes one child and he embraces, the word is literally to give a hug to, and he hugs that child. Jesus knows better than we do the multiple layers and complexities and structural issues, all that in fact needs to be saved in this world. But Jesus here, when teaching his disciples about what it means to be on the way with Jesus, embraces one who is vulnerable, one who is needy, one who is on the margins, one who does not even get a name. It's a freeing, permission-giving act by Jesus Christ here. That for us in our lives to be servant of all can only be done by us as humans by being servant to one person at a time. Again, the only way that our brains, our hearts can actually be servant to all is to be servant to one person at a time, to focus on them, to listen to them, to give us our presence. This week at Bible study, it was a joy-filled Bible study as we all together reflected on times and places in which we had been able to work and to serve one other person. For you see, Jesus isn't, again, just simply saying, oh, do good, but there's something even deeper here. There's a promise. And what Jesus says is that whenever you welcome one such as a child, one who is on the margins, one who is weak, one who is without a name, in that act of service, that the kingdom of God is open, and that Jesus says that I am with you in that. I am there. I am identifying with the one that you are helping. And again, so the stories this week in Bible study were of people who had had their hearts and eyes open to God's kingdom as they were serving other people. And one particular story that I remembered was of a disaster response trip going to New Jersey in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. This group from this area went to one person's house, and for three generations, this one house had been in a family. But now, after the storm, so much of it was just, you know, moldy and mildewy and destroyed. And the owner of the house was living in this shame that he did not have the ability now to fix or to afford all of the necessary repairs. But the group came and the group helped and, you know, did the excavation, ripped out stuff, reinstalled stuff. And at the end of the week, the wife of this man turned to the group and said, "My husband was thinking about, my husband was contemplating suicide. That's how low he was over the fact that he would, under his stewardship, the family house would have been taken away." And in that moment of hearing that, they realized that somehow that God's kingdom was at work there, that Christ was in with and among them in those acts of service. Now, you might be tempted at this point to say, "Pastor, I appreciate what you're saying about one person, but aren't there big, complicated structural issues that need some sort of, you know, corporate or government or policy push?" I might say, okay, I'll grant you that. I'll grant you that some issues are big and complicated. But even there, I think the only way we get to actually move the ball ahead or make a difference is by embracing one issue, getting to know it, studying it. The church right now is in the very first seeds of considering the next round of renovations to the church. And one of the projects we know is we're going to have to fix the roofs. Nothing glorious, but it's got to get done. And so the thought is, well, if we're going to fix the roofs, should we not consider adding solar panels? Right? Do something good. We're discovering, though, that solar panels are complex. And in Pennsylvania, the laws aren't necessarily favorable. So we're doing our research. You see, we're having to dig in, and there's one or two people or a group that's really having to look at this, understand the ins and outs of our building, of the market, and so forth. Again, to move the ball ahead, to make a difference, you can't have your hands in all the pots. It's so often about picking one thing, one area. Jesus Christ comes with this awesome and imposing word for us, that we are to be servants of all. But over and against that daunting, unbearable challenge is this practical permission given by Jesus to focus on one person at a time for the world's change, the transformation, the holy interactions are almost inevitably embrace of two people when they're present for each other and they begin to sense Christ's presence among them. For when Jesus is talking, and in fact, he's actually sat down, he's looking up at his disciples. And it's a reminder that what he's talking about here isn't even them anymore, but it's also himself. When he says the one who wants to be first has to be last. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He became last, he became least, he became the one who was on the outside, crucified for you and for me and for this world. And in so doing, he becomes the true first, the first of the new creation, the first one of the resurrected people. And he is the one, he is only the one who can truly be servant to all people at all times and in all places. And so Christ has invited you here this day. He has stooped down that he might serve you, forgive you, offer you sanctuary, and give you joy. Amen.